Hi, Yvette, how are you? Can you hear me?
A couple of weeks ago, I sent an update on the funding that had come to Coachella Valley from the CARES Act. It is a spreadsheet that I sent to our board members, and that has who has received what, as it has been public by the Department of Health and Human Services and SAC Health System. If I'm not mistaken, they receive over 800,000. I remember, Donna, you and I had a conversation because they have been asking us for a similar amount, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
So
Yeah. Exactly.
they received that funding. The other consideration there, Karen, is that Desert Regional Medical Center, Desert Care Network, they used to have a residency program for pediatric medical care with UCR. And Desert Care Network dismantled that program. And in fact, the last day of that program is going to be June 30th. So we're just a couple weeks away from that moment. And they will be replacing the residency programs on the family side, I believe, the Tenet Family Residency Program. And on the pediatric side, I believe they're establishing a partnership with Loma Linda University. Am I correct, Donna?
You are correct. That's what Michelle Finney brought up at the board meeting, and then I double clarified that with Lynn Evans that and this should actually help with the pediatric sustainability portion at the end of the clinic, because they're going to be the pediatric hospitalists are also going to be meeting with taking care of the newborns, and then the newborns need to access the pediatric substitutes or the pediatric set so they can go to the clinic for that interact.
So those are new developments, Director Borja, I want you to be aware of.
Thank you. So where are they in the process with that?
In the process, we have not made any decisions because we have been asking them for financial information that they haven't provided to the district. And at this point, I believe that the information we have is not sufficient to support their ask. And going into the new fiscal year, we have new funding priorities that were decided by the board at the last board meeting. So if there is any request, it will have to fit within those categories.
Thank you. That was it. Pretty confused. A lot going on here. Thank you. I don't have any other questions on
okay.
I do have a question.
Okay.
Sounds to me, it's on, there is a question of funds on contract, and there's an outstanding outside contract. Is there a current or updated goal from the person consider their performance?
Uh-oh, we got a little bad connection. Can you try to repeat that one more time, so slowly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what I'm hearing is there's a question about performance on the grant performance. I'm asking is if an outstanding report or lack of expenditures and spending money they grant me, does Linda have another proposal currently on the table?
Luciano, we cannot hear you. It seems that you have a bad connection, so your voice is completely
like on the furthest one away. Do what can I do? So just continue the meeting.
Okay. So does anyone else have any more questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to COVID-19 grant funding update. Does anybody have any questions about the COVID-19 information? that is supplied in the packet. Seeing no questions, we will move on to new business consideration to approve grant number. Oh, okay.
You're one thing ahead of me. I have a question about the payment schedule.
Okay.
At the last board meeting, we were told that CVAG had actually already put in some reimbursement for CV Link. I don't see them on here. Is there a reason? Are they coming? Are we still taking them?
You don't see the actual payment? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. I don't see it having moved any money for that grant.
Because we're still reviewing their invoice.
Okay.
We're asking them for clarification on their invoice to make sure that what they submitted is allowed by the contract.
And once that's done, will those changes on this payment schedule or on the board?
I believe you will see on the board packet. If we have it here at the next program committee, you will see it.
Yeah, right. You'll note that each one of these statements is at the end of the month, so you probably won't see that payment until when Chris updates it for as of 6/30/2020.
Okay, thank you. And then my last question on the payment schedule. What we have currently in our books today to spend between now and the end of the fiscal year, minus the CV money, is this last column. Am I correct? Where it says back in 1,000.
But we have an extended.
For the rest of the fiscal, I know it's really hard. For the rest of the fiscal budget, how much money do we have left to spend?
I believe it's 370,000.
Yeah, Andrea, can you scroll down just a little bit more and we'll say the balance. There you go. Balance available for grants program, 587,571.
Okay, thank you. That was it.
If UCR gets approved, then that will reduce that number.
Okay. Yep, to 300 and something.
Okay.
All right, thank you, team. I was looking at my numbers somewhere. That's it. Those are all the questions I have for the grant payment schedule. Thank you, Yvette.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll move on to the COVID. Nobody had any questions about the COVID-19 information, did they?
So I do want to say something. We put together this table to show how the funds that the district is allocating for or has allocated for as a response to the COVID-19 has also been leveraged and how these represent a larger pool of investment in our community and in our grantees. And that's the reason why we have this table. So you see on the left columns, the allocations that the district made starting with the COVID-19 outbreak and how other funding has come to those organizations and how that has created a much larger investment pool for, or better leverage for the district.
Yeah, that definitely was the impressive part about all of this, right? How far our money went, how many people it will actually touch when we like partner up with the organizations that we've had like very some new relationships with. It's genuinely very impressive, but also just important. So thank you for pushing us maybe sometimes out of our comfort zone to spend a little. I think the reward has been pretty big.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Does anybody else have any more information? I mean, any more questions or information about this topic? Hearing none, we'll move on to new business, the consideration to approve grant 1124, University of California, Riverside, COVID-19 testing and public health education for farm workers, farm working communities in the Eastern Coachella Valley for the amount of $149,976. Donna, will you be speaking on the grant?
I can, or Conrado, if you want to.
No, please go ahead, Donna.
Okay, all right. So, yes, this is from UCR School of Medicine. It's a three-month process. They're going to be doing COVID-19 testing for the farm workers. This is in collaboration with the Growers Association. I think I'm saying that wrong, but... And just want to point out in the staff report in the very bottom, you'll see the geographic area served says Mecca. We have a little glitch in our grant making software, so they actually are serving Mecca Thermal Oasis and what was the other one?
North Shore.
North Shore, yeah. So you can see that the description, the use of funds, how they're going to be doing this for the next 3 months, and. And Cheney is on the phone or on the meeting if anybody has any other questions for her. Or I just had one question that was for Ann, where you mentioned that you have a new testing center in Cathedral City. Can you tell me where that is, Cathedral City? Or is it with another clinic? Or
So it's not UCR's testing site. This is a new testing site that county has created. And I don't know specifically where it is, but essentially what county has... said is they would provide free the testing kits, the analyses, and the PPE to us if we get this grant awarded. And their expectation is that we would go to that testing center, pick up the equipment, the kits, and then bring it out into the valley, do the testing, and then bring it back. Yeah, and I do just want to clarify that it's not 3 months, it's 5 months, with a focus for 4 months of doing the testing. And then the last month would be focused on finalizing the data analysis and the report.
Oh, you're right. I apologize.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. Should read
the new testing site. It's at the Cathedral City Library, Donna.
So that was that. If anybody has any questions, or
I just have one question, if you don't mind, please. And I was just wondering how this particular grant differs from other testing that's happening in the East.
So how this grant differs from current efforts that are going on?
Mm-hmm.
So currently, for instance, I know that we're collaborating with Coachella Valley Volunteers in Medicine to do testing sites. Thus far, it's been not necessarily systematically done in the sense of we've done two in April, and then two more were done this weekend. So in terms of difference, I think it would be able to create up infrastructure, and it's building off what we already have as a collaborative, which is Global Health at Home, and it's medical students, it's led by medical students, but it's also a collaborative effort with other physicians and other students in the Inland Empire. And the focus is on providing medical care, free medical care to residents of the Eastern Valley, specifically Spanish-speaking Latino farm worker population. So I guess, I don't know if that answers your question, but like another added part of this is the focus on the Purépecha community in the Eastern Valley.
Thank you.
Hi, Dr. Ann. Very nice to see you again.
Hi,
one of the questions that I'm hearing quite often from people in the East Valley is if someone is tested and they test positive, how do we quarantine? Is there any education that you're all going to do, any resources that you'll provide, any spaces that you're trying to figure out that can be made available for people who have tested positive? Mostly because the size of a trailer is not very large. The proximity to your neighbors is very close, and the like limited amenities that are in these communities tend to be shared by hundreds of people at a time. So that I know has been one of the bigger concerns.
So certainly, that's a really great and important question. One of the things that we proposed in this is that there would be funding for four medical students to do simply an externship, and they would be working on issues like this. So the idea would be, one, they'd be working with county to get up-to-date information on any increases of new incidents of COVID-19, and then they would also be doing interviews with those individuals, farm workers specifically, who have access to testing to understand, one, how the testing has impacted their health and well-being, and then what else we can learn, what we need to do to help them, given that they are, that they have been tested, and if they do test positive, what can we do to help support them? And so part of it is understanding what resources are needed so that we can provide those resources. So we, through this grant, can't necessarily set up, you know, like a new shelter, for instance, for individuals who test positive. But what we could do is identify those collaborators in the community to whom we could refer those who are test positive. And like, we could also provide public health information about, if you are living in a household with other family members and you test positive, here are some things that you can do to reduce risk of spread. Which, I have a student who has been really actively working. She's a first year medical student, to be second year, on public health around this particularly. She's from the Eastern Valley, and she's very dedicated to doing work in this region. And she has already created some information in Spanish, and now it's in Purépecha, that talks about, if you are positive, here are some things to think about. But that's, you know, more public health oriented, not an actual, like, we can remove you.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions on this, Brent?
I like the fact that you're bringing in the healthcare workforce, you know, introducing residents and medical students to a new type of primary care, healthcare, which really helps. It's kind of like a two-prong, three-prong effort, getting everybody involved, which I think is good.
Thanks.
This is Alan. Donna, on your grant scoring review sheet, you mentioned that the growers were not necessarily financially participating in this project. Are they participating in any way, do we know?
So we have support from Growing Coachella Valley. So in the application, there's a letter of support specifically from Growing Coachella Valley. The idea would be that we would create an advisory board that would include Growing Coachella Valley as well as other growers, so that we could get their input and their buy-in on places where we could go do the COVID-19 testing, because the idea is that we would directly go into the fields to do this testing. But no one has specifically, no grower has dedicated financial resources to this project.
Okay. Too bad.
I had a question.
If I may, this is Dr. Debe. I just arrived, unfortunately. I was not able to log in earlier. I just want to make sure that there was no question for me.
Does anyone have questions for Dr. Debe?
No.
This is Carol. I have questions.
Okay, Carol, what's your question?
I had a question first about the Promodoros. Are those within the UC Riverside system or within the county or IHP? Who are the Promodoros that are part of the grant?
Yeah, so I've been doing research in the Eastern Coachella Valley for 4 years now, and all of my work is community, doing research, it's community driven. And I work with a network of promotoras. They are not associated with a organization, but rather they have been working with me on research projects. So they have training in how to collect and analyze data. And they also, a number of them also work with our Coachella Valley Free Clinic, which is basically through our Global Health at Home. It's an opportunity for us to go out and provide medical services. Primarily, we provide medical services in the Oasis Trailer Park. So these are individuals who live, the promotoras live in the Eastern Valley.
Okay, thank you. And next question is, if I understand that the UC San Bernardino nurses, student nurses program have been involved in this program. Does this grant also cover their activities?
So they have not been involved with us.
Okay. Is there a possibility for nursing students to be involved?
Absolutely. Yeah, we would love to have nursing students involved. And if you have specific connections, we'd love to be connected.
Yeah, I'll help facilitate that. And the other question is that, so you're doing testing in several of these communities, but then you also state that you're referring people to the Cathedral City site. Is that the people you can't reach or that they're not available? How does that work?
So Mark or Dr. Debe, maybe you could respond to that. That is a stipulation put forward by County Public Health. So essentially what they have said, if we provide free testing, or if they will provide us with kits for free testing and PPE, if we get that, those resources from the Cathedral City testing, and that we make referrals to that testing site. So we will not necessarily refer them to that testing site, because we're going to be in the community collecting, doing the testing and bringing the specimens back to that Cathedral City testing site. But my understanding is they want us to refer others to there.
I see. And so who's responsible, what laboratory is responsible for doing the actual testing?
Mm-hmm. Mark, would you be able to answer that?
So I'm not sure I understood the question, actually. Can you repeat the questions?
Sure. I understand that testing is by laboratories, specifically laboratories that have been certified, is a big issue. And so my question is that what laboratory are you using? Is it the county laboratory? Is it UCR laboratory? Yeah. What laboratory is actually doing the testing of the results?
No, that's very simple. That's the county laboratory, because we use the test and then we bring the specimen back to the county, and then they process the test, and then they collect the data as well as part of their own data collection and surveillance system. So basically we are just an extension of the county for the testing per se.
Director Rogers, this is Alejandro. When I participated in the testing sites that the county was hosting at Southwest Community Church, they were utilizing LabCorp. So LabCorp was the one that were bringing the testing kits, and they were the ones that would pick them up on a daily basis, take them over to the labs, and then report the results over to the county personnel.
Okay. And then my next question is notification of positive, negative, how is that handled? How does that communication go back to UCR, and then you handle the notification? Who does the follow-up work?
Yeah, so what we proposed is that we would work with county, where we would have our medical students who are bilingual Spanish speakers, that they would call the patients. So So what that specifically looks like, I don't know if it's going to be the students going over to county and being in a space where they can practice social distancing and get that information and call. That's what I suspect it will look like, but it will be a direct communication between the medical students that I supervise, I would supervise, and Dr. DeBay, and county public health.
Yeah, because
okay, thank you all.
Because all this, the residents and probably the medical students as well, will go through training in the county. So, and then part of the training is the testing per se, but also how to follow up, and then the messages to convey for the positive tests. Mm-hmm. They typically don't contact the negative one.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anyone else have questions for Dr. DeBay or? I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
It's okay. It's and Dr. Cheney.
And or okay, Anne. Dr. Cheney. Sorry. Does anybody else have any more questions?
No, I motion that we approve this grant.
This is Carol. I second.
Okay. I don't know if we do roll call for this one, or do we just say all in favor? Aye.
That is correct. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Alrighty. So it has been approved and is going to be forwarded to the board, right? To be approved. We're moving on to committee member comments. Does anybody have any member comments from the committee?
This is Carol. I have a comment.
Okay.
I think you've heard from me before about having an unexpended outstanding balance for grant applications. And going forward, I'm hoping that we have a procedure where we can do some more outreach to, especially with the COVID-19 pandemic, that we can find more nonprofit organizations that we can support in our valley, especially East Valley.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have a comment?
I guess I kind of do very similar to Director Rogers. Today, the Desert Sun reported that there was like a 35% COVID increase in positive tests in the city of Coachella. Memorial Day weekend was 2 weekends ago, so that sort of makes sense. We've had like many large and small protests across the Coachella Valley. I'm not sure what the conversation is with people to get tested before or after these protests. I know there's one scheduled, actually there's two scheduled for today, one in India, one in Desert Hot Springs. There's another one scheduled for the city of Coachella later on this week. I don't know if this is like a good time for our mobile partners to be out there before or after the protest, or I don't know what, but it seems kind of counter to everything we've put out as far as like to not ask people to get tested or wear masks or like something, right? I'm not sure we're the ones responsible for that conversation, but I also feel like because we see it, we can't ignore it. I'm not sure how we respond to it. Maybe it is just social media posts. It seems like these protests live and die on like Instagram and Twitter. So maybe it's just using the tools that we have at our disposal to ask people or remind people like, these are the places you can get tested. Remember not to like, or remember to continue social distancing or whatever. Just because, right, Memorial Weekend was 2 weekends ago and there's a 35% increase in the city of Coachella this week or today. So, yeah, right. Just that.
Well, on Saturday, I help volunteers in medicine with their work in Thermal and Oasis, and we went to one of the mobile home parks there, the Oasis Mobile Home Park. And out of 125 tests, 23 were positive. So that it's a significant rate in that small community. So I believe that there is a lot of things that we need to do. And I will be connecting with the county to see how the county can share some of the resources with volunteers in medicine as well, to deploy more resources in the smaller communities of Oasis, Thermal, Mecca, and North Shore that have pretty much no access to healthcare whatsoever.
Yeah, to that note, I was also talking to Sheila Thornton, who was talking with Ken Wheat, who is with Eisenhower, the A-team. Ken's on their board, and she was saying that Ken was saying that they went from 12 beds at Eisenhower up to 40 beds now. Again, the spike increased, most likely from Memorial Day weekend.
And then maybe too, Camarado, that's if they do the testing, they're able to give them an educational piece too, like Karen was mentioning, testing before or after you go to these large events if you're gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
I wish too, but you know, this may be a little unrealistic, and I'm sure a lot of those protesters are young people. If they could actually get HIV testing while they're out there as well, that'd be awesome.
I believe Linda sent a comment.
Linda
on the chat. Yeah.
She said we have several patients from the prisons in Blythe, from Imperial County, currently in our hospitals, Desert Care Network. Let me put her on here. Maybe she can explain. There you go. You're on, Linda.
Linda?
You hear me all right? Let me just turn down this other speaker. Hold on. I'm multitasking on Zoom. We actually had this discussion yesterday at the CVAG Executive Committee meeting in regards to Supervisor Perez and Ari described the fact that they do have, they are seeing a small uptick in the hospitalization numbers. And we were reviewing the metrics based on the approach to reopen to stage three at the end of this week. And basically, I'll tell you that the hospitals in Riverside County, all 17 of us, are required to submit by noon every day to the emergency department in the county. Pretty much the breakdown by zip code, because nearly half of the 25 patients, for example, at Desert Regional are either from out of our area. We've got probably five inmates from the Tacuala prison, and we've got half a dozen or more patients from the Mexico area. And JFK is seeing the same kind of breakdown of patients. So while we are collectively as Coachella Valley hospitals probably are experiencing a slight surge that we never did experience when we were preparing for one, we are still managing hospitalizations of these patients with staffing, with equipment, and with our PPE board. And the Riverside County and Imperial County and state EMS are working together to try to distribute the patients from Imperial County in the Mexico area with equity across counties, including up in Central California, because some of our hospitals in San Luis Obispo and Modesto were also asked to take some of those patients because Imperial County cannot handle them. So while we're seeing an increase in positivity in our valley, we are doing more testing. There was a slight increase in people getting tested based on how the elected officials day. We don't have a major concern yet that we're at capacity, or we have a lot of bed expansion that we have all prepared for, but we are watching the numbers closely. And in fact, there will be a discussion currently at the Board of Supervisors meeting with County Public Health about doing a marketing campaign countywide. And this is where the district might be able to help. on exactly what Director Borja was talking about, is how do we then re-engage while we're stay reopened to cover your face, wash your hands, to maintain your space, because those things will help us as a local sub-region of the Valley, because we don't want to revert back to having the governor say you have to do something down. So I think if we get more information on kind of messaging, I'd love to share that with the district so that you can also help put out that message to all of the residents to remind them of some of those fundamentals that will help us flatten that curve again, help them care for people from outside of our area.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have comments or questions at this time? Hearing none, we'll adjourn this meeting at 12:52 and move on to the foundation meeting. I would like to call the meeting to order. Is there an action to approve the agenda?
This is Alan, so moved.
Okay, and Karen seconds. Moving on to meeting and minutes, is there a motion to approve the meeting and minutes?
This is Carol, I have a correction.
Okay, Carol.
Page 5.
Hi, how are you?
Every day something new. It so is. I wanted to update you on a couple of things.
Okay.
Please mute your phone.
So public documents, so I provided those. And I don't mind the open site and citizen being interested in reading the conference. I mean,
and the person on the phone mute.
But just you know, and then here comes the email from the app, whatever.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, okay, so here is probably part of my bigger group. And you know, I thought that we were going get 60 of those yesterday, which
Who is talking? Do we know who is talking?
The solution that was on earlier.
Right.
But again, it's gonna.
What, now, do you have this? Here we go. Maybe.
Clear position.
Was it Dr. DeBay? Right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah, he's not, I don't see him on here.
Increase in crime,
it's Linda. Can you mute her?
There we go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Carol. Sorry about that.
Yes, I just had a minor correction on page 5 minutes under adjournment. It said Chair Rogers adjourned the meeting. Ashley, that is Chair Perez Gill.
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay, with the corrections being made, is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes?
I approve. I make a motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
I second.
Okay. So moving on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to no more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda, and public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Are there any public comments at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to new business. Did somebody comment? No. We'll move on to new business. And seeing that there's no new business, we'll move on to old business. Who will be providing information on the homeless initiative update from the summer cooling centers?
Greg was supposed to call in and give a verbal on the summer cooling centers, but he texted me a little while ago and said his board meeting was going long. So he just wanted me to say that the update on the overnight cooling centers is not that great. The only one the county can fund is the Palm Springs one, and he's trying to find other sources of income.
Okay.
I'm not Desert Hot Springs either, Donna. Won't be funded either, because he mentioned that in the board meeting. He made a clarification when Carol asked about it.
Well, I'm just reporting out what he texted me. The only one the county can fund is the Palm Springs one.
Well, that's very disappointing to hear. Hopefully at the next board meeting, he'll be able to give us, at the next program meeting or board meeting, he'll be able to give us more information on that. And now moving on to the Behavioral Health Initiative. Does anybody have?
I do have a brief update, and that is that we had identified a senior program officer was going to start working with the district in July, and because of COVID-19, she didn't feel it was the right time for her to move herself and her family, so she declined our employment offer. So we're back to recruiting, and we will be posting that position again and start the recruiting process again.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
This is Carol. I have a question. So the applicants that previously applied, do they need to reapply?
We will reopen the application process, Director Borja. Director Rogers. And we anticipate that, yes, if somebody applied in the past, they should reapply.
Will you notify the applicants that they need to reapply?
Yes.
Thank you.
We will make that available to the public.
And is there a deadline for the new applications?
We don't have one yet.
Okay, thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions or comments about the Behavioral Health Initiative? Hearing none, we'll move to number 3 on the agenda, grant payment schedule, Easter and Coachella Valley funding opportunity request. Who will be providing information about? Is there any new information, or is it just all in the packet?
Well, I see Chris is a participant, so maybe he might want to report on something. I don't know. But I think it's okay.
There he is, Chris Christians.
Well, I heard my name. What was the question?
I saw that you were there as a participant and know if Chair Perez-Gill was asking if there was anything to report on the grant payment schedule for the foundation.
No, what you see there, what we will do for the end of June, the $300,000 that is budgeted for the current fiscal year, we will accrue that to the grant payment schedule, and then be able to preserve that $300,000 to for future approved grants.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Chris? Hearing none, we'll move on to committee member comments.
This is Carol.
Go ahead.
I think. Okay, Carol, go ahead.
I just wanted to let committee members and staff know about Assembly Bill 3216. It's the governor's paid family leave budget proposal. It's to ensure that all workers have access to paid sick and family leave. I would like to ask if there's a way that the district could support this legislation and let Representative Garcia know of that.
Okay. How do we usually go about sending a letter of support, Conrado?
You're on mute, Conrado.
Conrado, are you there?
Yeah, he's muted.
Yes, I'm here. Typically, this is information that is shared with the board, and depending on the issue, whether it is a controversial issue or not, it's easy to send a letter of support.
Okay, so this would be something that would be decided on doing at a board meeting, right?
We need to do, no, not necessarily. We need to do more research.
Okay. Alrighty. Okay, does anybody else have comments?
Yes, I have a question. A couple of months ago when the fires in the Eastern Coachella Valley were going on, we had hired two consultants to with the Avery Trust Funds. Do we know when we get a report back from them? I know that COVID has probably stopped their work, but we did get a report back from Park and like how COVID had stopped their work. Just curious to see if they've been able to do any work or none at all. Asking for an update.
Yes, they have been working on it. We have had a few meetings with them, Director Borja. We may have an update for the board meeting, details of what they have done so far.
Thank you.
Welcome.
That's a question.
Okay, does anybody else have a comment or a question?
I think it's been for the last 2 years, we've been asking cities to match our homelessness funding at $100,000. Are we still doing that? Did that just completely get transferred over to CFAG?
So that will be something that Greg Rodriguez will be asking through CBAC.
Not us anymore.
Not us, yes. We allocated funds that are in the homelessness fund, and he may use those funds to leverage additional resources from those cities.
Great, thank you.
This is Carol. Is there some way that we can use district foundation funds to help support the cooling centers in Cathedral City and Desert Hot Springs?
That will have to be a request through the grant process, I believe.
So who would request that, the county or?
I think CBAC.
For the cities?
That request should come from the collaborative. We formed a homelessness collaborative, and they're supposed to be addressing these concerns.
Okay, thank you. I will contact Greg.
AB 2019.
Remember about AB 2019, Carol. Maybe we should just leave it up to them to contact us so we don't get into any problems.
Well, I think I would like to know what the county is doing, how they're expending those funds when it was supposed to be used for homeless cooling ships. centers.
And he might have more information for us at the board meeting. You know, he probably just wasn't able to provide a lot of information right now. So maybe we should wait.
And in that text, he said he's trying to find other sources of income.
He did. Remember at the board meeting, too, he mentioned the CARES Act and all the other funding that's out there. So I think he's working on it, or at least trying to find funding.
Okay,
thank you.
Andrea, can you push up the agenda for me? I mean, or push it down? Okay, I think that's it, right?
That's everything.
Okay, so I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 1:07 p.m. Thank you, everyone, for attending and for all your wonderful help. I mean, your wonderful work.
Thank you.
Hope to see you guys soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.